Back to the action. Back to the action. The Rudin Report, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin. We got a good show today as we segue into spring sports, and baseball and softball are going to be the focus. And joining me later on, we've got Staples baseball coach Jack McFarland, and we're going to talk to somebody I profiled this week, the pitcher of the Norwalk softball team, Maddie Collins. We'll jump right into things. I'll do a little explanation after, but Warden Staples, who right now the Rutgers are number one and Ward three in the preseason poll that just came out. They were supposed to open yesterday, and the game got postponed because of the anticipated rain. Neither team wisely wanted to waste some pitching efforts there, but I was supposed to be there. I missed it, so I haven't seen Brett Connor, Jack McFarland in a while, so decided I'm going to put him on and catch up with him. And leading off here is Mustangs coach Brett Connor. Brett, how you doing?
Well, it was a bummer that we didn't, you know, get to play, but we were ready. We were ready for sure.
Yeah, it's too bad. I always look forward. It's great that you guys have decided to do this season opener every year now. So it's highly anticipated. And so how you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. I've been good. We, you know, Jack and I, we feel like it's a good way to open up the season and, you know, playing against each other. And it's just, we know what each team is going to bring, the preparation to it all. And it just makes for a great brand of baseball to go and watch. So it's always special opening day, Ward versus Staples. So I'm glad it's like a yearly tradition that we're able to make, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's your programs are so similar in the way you've built them up. You know, Jack's been doing it for the last two decades, you for the last decade. And, you know, it's always, you compare really good and it's program, not a team, but you always compare other sports sometimes to football, because that's the one, the sport that kind of gets noted for the overall look at things, and you guys just get it in the way you've built things up, and it's such a great rivalry, because obviously you've been the two teams with the most longstanding success over the past 5-6 years, and just the way that you guys have built things up, and it's mutual respect as well.
Yeah, I love Jack. He's a great guy. Great role, great mentor for me, you know, when I first got the job, you know, just kind of helping me, you know, guide the way to do things. And, you know, it honestly takes everybody to have a successful program. It's not the coaches. It's not one player. It's a culmination of the entire program, the administration, and, you know, our goal as coaches is that we want to just build up confident leaders, confident in everything that they do on the field with our preparation, which in turn will lead to successful, you know, young men, you know, in the future. So that's super important to us. It takes literally everybody to do this.
And the other thing that you guys have both really done is the way that you work with the youth program and the feeder program. That's your minor leagues, and you guys work real hard. Your players become role models for younger kids who aspire to be like your kids someday. And for you, you're in a two-team – well, you're in a three-team town, a two FCAC team town, and Ludlow's had a lot of success. I mean, you'd be – you'd have everybody fighting for playing time issues if Ludlow and Ward were ever merged like it once was. You'd have parents standing outside your door wanting to know why their kids aren't playing.
There's, you know, challenging situations, but, you know, I think that we've gotten to a point within our program, at least, where everybody understands, it takes what it takes. There's no sugarcoating anything. You have to prepare. You have to, you know, in the off season, you can't really miss a day. It makes it that much harder once the season comes. You know, these kids come in prepared, and every year is different. You might have been a starter for us last year or the year before. You might be a frontline pitcher, and you're not this year because guys just develop differently at different times, and we have to do what's best for our program in being able to win. And that's just a small part of the program, you know, winning. But it's building up, you know, the confidence in all these kids, you know, once they leave our program too, you know, in order to be successful. So that's something that's important to us. But, you know, over at Ludlow, you know, Kenny's doing a great job building up the feeder system into Ludlow. So I've taken notice to that. And I'm sure, you know, Ludlow's going to have a lot of success, sustainable success, if they continue down that road. I think that it's just super important to build up the youth program, having them come to games, having our players, our high school players, go down to the Little League field and be available. But not only that, it's like when you see them out in the community, right? You go out to dinner and you see one of the kids and they're just like so pumped. They're like starstruck that they see you at like a, you know, a Colony Pizza or, you know, one of the places in Fairfield. So it just makes for a cool community thing. And the kids really, really enjoy it when they see all the youth players. And it's just, it makes a big deal. And like I said, it takes everybody to do this. And it's a really special program to not only me, my coaching staff, the administration, but, you know, these players, these families, and all the, you know, past alumni. So it's all really important stuff. And I'm just really appreciative of everyone's hard work and grateful I have this opportunity to be a part of this.
Let's talk about this year's Mustangs, which I think is a little bit of a mystery outside of Fairfield Ward, in that, you know, we know we're familiar with about 4 or 5 year players, which we know are good hitters. And, you know, just looking at the preview information you sent me in, you know, a couple of young guys that are really going to step in, and it sounds like you could have the most potent batting attack, not just in the league, but in the state. And I think the mystery with you guys right now is your pitching staff to everybody else.
Yeah. So when you send out the information form and you ask for the top players in the FCAC, and like I gave you literally 8 or 9 guys, I truly believe that.
Gave me 12 players and 8 of them are yours.
And I'm not doing it like, it's not cocky. I'm just really confident. I know my kids. I know what they bring to the table. And I just truly believe in them. I think that this is hands down, and I've been very open with it. I actually saw Adrian Arango last night. Dan Orlovsky's sister had an engagement celebration, and I didn't realize that there was a connection there between Dan's sister and Adrian's wife. So it was really nice to catch up with him. But this is the best offense I've ever had. Ever.
That's saying something.
I would roll out 13, 14 hitters that are, you know, they are very tough hitters. They're going to bring a competitive spirit, a fight to them that will, you know, I just feel like it will just exhaust any pitcher mentally, physically. You're not really going to blow anything by us. These kids can all hit for power. And I'm not saying that in like a cocky way. I'm being confident with this because I've been around and I trust my experiences and trust what I've seen. And this lineup is very different. I'm trying to figure out where the situational play comes into it. You know, the bunts, the base hit, the bunt for base hits. Like, where is that going to come into play? Because every kid can put the ball over the fence. There's a lot of power in our lineup and a lot of tough outs. They're gritty kids. When it comes to our pitching staff, you know, that's been the question that people have asked, and you're going to learn some new names. Listen, they're not overpowering. They're in the 80s. The makeup that I truly love about our pitchers is every single kid is mentally tough and absolute competitors. And that's what we expect in our program. So I'm really excited to see them compete for us. Now, in the years past, you know, we've always had a goal of offensively, we want to score 5 runs. We feel like if we scored 5 runs, that would give us our best chance to win because our pitching could, you know, throw up zeros and compete at a high level for us. And our defense was always a high-level defense within the state. This year, I feel like we might give up some runs. We have a high-level defense still. We might give up some runs, so we might have to, offensively, we might have to shoot for a 10 spot. Putting up 10 runs, and people are like, are you crazy? That's a lot of runs. Like that's what it is. That's what it takes. That's the strategy of it. Like, you just got to know the pieces that you have. And we're going to strive to score 10 runs every single game. So we've had 5 scrimmages so far, and we've hit the goal in 4 out of 5 scrimmages. So once again, they're scrimmages, but that's kind of where we're going with this.
Okay, so late dinners when I cover you, I guess.
We're going to attack. We're not coming back. We're going to attack. And offensively, we have the pieces to attack. And we're not, when we get on the bases, we're going to be aggressive and we're really fast. It's a special offense that, you know, people should come out and see. I don't say that lightly. Like, I'm very confident with it.
I mean, we have some familiar names like Jimmy Dobbs back at catcher, Carson Dotter at shortstop, Meyer Stransky, mm-hmm. third base, Derek mm-hmm. Davis in the outfield. We see you have another Galvin on the team.
We have Mickey and Tommy. Yep.
you have
the best one's coming next year, Johnny. Oh, Johnny God. Galvin's coming next year. He's the best one. Really? I always say that to them. He should be. The fourth one. He got to see all this. He's got to see the entire process. You're taking all that information, you just keep growing and be the best one out of all the brothers.
You got a new Canaan transfer, Michael Marciano. We had heard who's going to play second. We had heard all offseason that you had a transfer from New Canaan, and then
he has fit right in. Him and his family have fit into our culture, and we couldn't be any more thrilled having them.
And then there's a sophomore we're not familiar with that you're really hyped about too, Jake Coppola.
I think he'll be the next star at Ward.
Really,
Jake Coppola. Yeah, he'll be the next star at Ward. He's a phenomenal baseball player. He's super athletic. I'd like to see, you know, who you would compare him to. This kid is just, he's a competitor. He's a dog, and he's fun to watch. You know, and he's maturing too, which I really appreciate because, you know, like, yeah, it's one thing to be a great baseball player, but we also want to, you know, let these kids grow and mature as people and, you know, doing the right thing. So he's doing a great job. I appreciate his efforts.
It's going to be a lot of fun watching this offense and in what's really a pitching rich league where you got Trevor Schulke at Trumbull, who, if the weather cooperates, you're going to miss tomorrow. Yeah. You've got Kai Nee at Staples. You've got Chase DePalmer and I'm blanking on the other pitcher.
Well, you got a Langhorne. I talked to Adrian last night. Got another Langhorne at Greenwich.
Yep. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch your hitters go against this pitching staff.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that. I want to see all these pitchers. I'm sure they're going to throw their best at us. That's what we anticipate. And, like, I don't know, we just love to be challenged, right? Like, why else would we do this? We want to be challenged with everything. Throw your best, and let's see what we can do.
Do you have a clear-cut number one that I'm going to see tomorrow on the mound, or is it sort of a committee of pitchers?
You got a kid, Nate Jackson. We have about 9 pitchers. Nate Jackson will probably be our ace, but, you know, like, Derek Davis is just as good. Meyer Stransky, he's upper 80s. He can hit low 90s. Tommy Galvin is, you know, he's just like Patty. Like, when Patty was with us, you know, he's a state champion. So he's just as good as Patty. Can command the strike zone. He has a major league curveball that he throws, and it's really hard to hit. We also have a kid, Colin Stoll, Dylan McDonald, Todd Emmerich. We also have Kellen Gilligan, too. He's a senior. He's going to RPI. So we have a couple college guys on our in our pitching rotation. The thing is this, like, they just compete, and that's all we can ask for, and we appreciate it. And they're great team players, so this means a lot to them. So we know exactly when we give them the ball, we know exactly what we're getting out of them.
As we finish up here, You mentioned him. I was going to bring up your childhood friend, closest friend, especially with the NFL draft coming up, is going to be known to most of the listeners here, and he's a frequent presence at your games, and certainly as a Westport resident at a lot of Staples games. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, like I said, we were over his house last night, but he was supposed to stop over. His daughter was playing lacrosse at Staples yesterday. It would have been going on when our game was happening, but it got canceled. So, he'll be doing a lot of the draft stuff for the NFL, but I don't know if you saw recently. The other day, he had his son, Madden, who's autistic, and for autism awareness, he had him in studio for NFL Live, and they did like a really nice show, to bring the awareness to autism. But he was Madden was the man on it. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend going online. You can see it on all major platforms. People are covering People Magazine. They're all covering it. It was a really special moment, and that just speaks volume to Dan and his family. They really, really work hard. They got four kids. And he has this heart within him that he wants to give people a positive experience, something that will create a lasting memory. So I don't think he'll ever forget about that, that day when Madden was at ESPN and had the show basically for him and to raise autism awareness. It was really special. You have to see it. It's really great.
I saw it went viral on social media too. It was cool,
like,
and I'm sure it's special for him. So,
yeah.
Well, Brett, always fun.
Always
fun covering you, and with the success of the Ward program, I get to see you a lot. And if Mother Nature cooperates, I will see you at Trumbull tomorrow at 4:00. But good luck this season, and thanks a lot for taking the time here.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Best of luck with all this. This is great. You're growing. I'm proud of you, man. Great job.
Thanks.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Brett.
All right, pal. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That was Fairfield Ward coach Brett Connor. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go switch to softball and Norwalk pitcher Matty Collins. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Get the rundown on this week's games now on the Rudin Report, live, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and thanks to Brett Connor, and we're going to make the switch over for a few minutes from baseball to softball. And joining me right now, somebody I profiled this week, had an unbelievable performance we'll talk about in the FCAC playoffs last year, and that's kind of been a springboard. She's going to be one of the best pitchers in the league this year, and one reason Norwalk is considered a contender for postseason titles, and that's pitcher Matty Collins. Matty, how you doing?
Hi, Dave. How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing well. You getting ready for start of the season?
Yeah, we are. We were actually supposed to play Bethel yesterday, but we got rained out, so they moved our game to next Friday. But tomorrow we start off our season with Pomperog. So I think we're really excited for that. We had practice this morning, and I think we're excited to start off our season strong with that game.
Is it any different the night before, going to sleep the night before your first game?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of us have actually talked about, like, our pregame rituals, but I think definitely, like, tonight everyone's kind of excited for our first game tomorrow. We're kind of ready. We made our affirmations this morning for what we want to accomplish. And I think we're all kind of on the same page with how far we want to go. And I think starting off our season strong would lead us on a really good foot. And I think we're all just really excited to start on a good foot this year and really make our mark.
Let me guess, FCAC and state championships were mentioned in terms of your goals for the season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've gotten pretty far the past 2 years. We made it to the semifinal in FCAC. Our state run, we just want to keep going far, and that's all we can really hope for. The championship for FCAC is really important to us this year, and we've gotten close both years, and we just haven't been able to get there yet. So I think this year, that's our big goal to start with. And we also just want to have a really strong regular season too. So I think all around, we just want to be a stronger team this year, and I think we will be.
What, and a softball pitcher, I think, influences the outcome of games more than any athlete at any other position in any other sport. And upper college pro, you need a quarterback. A quarterback's important in high school, but I think if you don't have a good pitcher, you're probably not going to contend for a title. So certainly from the pitching standpoint, Norwalk checks the big box there. What do you see as the other strengths of the team?
So as you said, I think we do have a good staff pitching-wise. And I think also what's helping us is our defense this year. We've had a really solid group of girls for the past couple of years now that have really been able to work well together on the field. And we've all been playing together since we were little. So I think that's really helped us with having more of a connection on the field and even off the field too. We also have two freshmen that I think will be big major players this year in two positions that we lost last year. So
who are they? Give them a shout out. Who are they?
So Audra Lacomas and Morgan Blakely.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to – I think they're going to they've really been stepping up in preseason and our preseason scrimmages, and they've been fighting for a spot. So I think they're going to be key players for us this year as well. And, I mean, otherwise, we have the same girls that we've had since my freshman, sophomore year in the field. But, yeah.
If softball was a more highly publicized sport, everybody, I think, would have been talking about this last May. And in the softball world, everybody took notice. But in the FCAC semifinals last year, first of all, Maddie, in the quarterfinals, shut out St. Joseph, which was the number one seed and I think number five in the state at the time, 2-0. Mm-hmm. And in the semifinals, and I don't know that anybody's really seen this, she went 14-plus innings through 189 pitches. So it was the equivalent of two games, and then ended up suffering a tough 3-2 loss. But she only gave up 8 hits in 14-plus innings and only walked mm-hmm. 2. And to put that in perspective, Ridgefield had two starting pitchers of equal ability, and they each went the equivalent of a game. So Maddie basically threw two games, and if that wasn't enough, before the St. Joseph game, she had just come out of a boot because she had missed 6 games with a condition that could have led to a stress fracture in her shin. So what do you that's kind of hard to fathom. Even if you were completely healthy, that was hard to fathom. We talked about that game a little bit when I talked to you for the story, but for everybody else, kind of talk about what that day was like and what you were dealing with and how everybody wanted you to come out of the game.
So basically, going into that game, I think we were really excited to even be there, and our team, we went in with a really positive mindset. Obviously, we didn't think it was going to go into 15 innings. But so I think basically throughout that game, we were just we need to put runs on the board. We need to put runs on the board. And we had a couple opportunities that we didn't really live up to those. But it was mainly just keep going, keep going, keep going. And, I mean, our trainer, even, she was you should come out, you should come out. And I didn't want to. I didn't even really have that thought in my mind to come out. I was if I'm in the 11th inning, I'm not coming out now. And I think that we kind of just really tried to play our game the best we could. And as you said, I had 2 walks that game, 1 intentional, because we really wanted to just either clear the bases, load the bases, and get out on 2 outs. But I think it was just, we all just kept trying to push through, because we really wanted to come out with that win. But even at the end of the game, we honestly knew we couldn't hang our heads low. We just played 14 innings against two very dominant pitchers. And I think it really showed us how much we can really do, and that we should hold ourselves to a higher standard now, because that game, honestly, I don't think a lot of teams would be able to go do that and we 14 innings, we all went strong. We all tried our hardest the whole game. I mean, in the 13th inning, our second baseman had a double play that saved us. And honestly, I think if that didn't happen, we probably would have lost a lot sooner. But, yeah, I think it was just keep a positive mindset, keep going. And I think I just had so much adrenaline that I didn't even feel the pain, to be honest. Our trainer was, like, rolling me out behind the dugout every single inning. Yeah, it was honestly just a great game, and I think it was all the adrenaline in us that just kept us going because we wanted to take that win so bad. But as I said before, like we couldn't hang our heads low after 14 innings. We tried our best, and honestly, it was a great game. We couldn't have done anything else.
At the exact moment when the winning run crosses the plate, and you know what you had given, what was your feeling? It had to be the pride sets in right a little bit after. Yeah. But at the moment, I got to imagine that's got to be a real discouraging feeling.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, everyone was very upset. Like, I think a couple of us obviously had a couple tears. But in that moment, I think I was really tired. So that kind of set into, I think it was more like tired. Like, we just played 14 innings and we also just lost, which was really hard. Like, we all kind of went to each other. I mean, in our huddle after, everyone was really upset. Even one of our assistant coaches, Katie, even cried. But it was honestly, like, the first thing she said to all of us, she was like, you guys cannot hang your heads down. And obviously everyone was upset. But I think once that – I forget who it was that had that hit. But I think, honestly, I was just like, all right. Like, it's yeah. – Okay, like one of us deserved a win either way. They had a great season. We had a great season. But, yeah, I think obviously in the moment we were upset about losing. But in the end, like looking back at it now, like even though we lost, like it really showed us who we actually are and that we are a team that can play anyone and win any day.
Well, Maddie, you certainly etched your name in Norwalk and FCAC history with that performance, and you've been a standout, and I know a pride for the Norwalk program with your play in volleyball as well as softball. So, I wish you the best of luck this season. You're going to have a lot of good pitching matchups. So, I hope you make a good run towards your team goals. I wish you the best of success, and thanks a lot for taking the time here and joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that was Norwalk's Maddie Collins. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, Staples baseball coach Jack McFarland. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave has to say about this week in high school sports. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and I have to say, after talking to Maddie, if there's been one common comment I get back from everybody since I started doing this show in September is how good the players are at being interviewed that I've had on the show. And if you want to know why I like covering high school sports, I get to be around great kids. I also get to be around great coaches, and one of them is going to join me right now in 2 decades is built Staples into one of the premier baseball programs in the state. He last year led the Wreckers to their second straight state title appearance, and they've been there 5 times in the last 9 years. They're the number one team in the preseason poll this year, and that's Staples. And joining me is Coach Jack McFarland. Jack, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Nah, thanks for coming on. I know you like that bullseye.
Yeah, we don't. You know, we've had it before. It's, you know, people are like, you know, it's a disadvantage. It's a poll. It's gonna, you know, probably change about 4 or 5 times. Of course, you want to be on, you know, number one at the end of the season. But you know, it's the kids feel like, you know, it's well deserved. We have a good core back from last year, so we're excited about the 2025 season.
Yeah, I think you're number one based on success last year, the strength of the returning players that we know about, and it's also at the beginning of the year. It's also a show of respect by sports writers and the people who vote about your program, and that we expect you to be good every year.
Yeah, there's no question. You're always going to see Ward and Amity and Southington and Staples up there. You know, we've had some sustained success, and it's, you know, it's a very, very tough sport, very tough league. It's not a regional sport. Everybody in the United States has a baseball team. It's the national pastime, so it's very hard to do what we're doing. So, you know, it's exciting, and, you know, Westport's a baseball town, so that we get great support.
Let's talk a little bit about this year's team to start. And one of the strengths is certainly your pitching staff. And there are a lot of good pitchers in the league. I don't know how many teams can bring out a Kai Nee, an Andrew Oppenheimer, and a Mason Tobias as a 1-2-3 starting staff. That basically gets you, and I know you're very strategic in the way you set your rotations, but you basically have three good starters each week if you choose to use them that way.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, our program, the foundation, you know, I first got hired, my old athletic director, Marty Ilisevic, said, you know, you build that pitching staff. And that's been our foundation since I got there. Because, you know, in the end, no matter what, if your pitching and defense is there, you always have a chance in a big game, you know, to come on top. You know, great pitching, you know, can stop a pretty good lineup. You know, this year's no different for us. We've got Kai Nee, a left-hander, throws pretty well. He's going to University of Pennsylvania. Andrew Oppenheimer is a great two-way player, an athlete for us. He'll be pitching and playing some infield at Trinity. And Mason Tobias, who's a Seton Hall commit, he's a junior.
How do you, I'll come to your game and you'll be starting somebody I didn't expect. And I know a lot of it is you don't want to overthrow pitchers during the regular season. Your whole thing is everything matters in the postseason, and you're using the regular season to set things up. You know, just talk about a little bit about that kind of thinking and how you kind of throw pitchers and set your staff during the course of the year.
Yeah. We talk about our kids every day, not just pitchers, about availability. If, you know, if you're not available, you're not going to be in the lineup. Somebody else is. There's going to be competition there. So availability is huge. And then that goes for, you know, the end of May and June. You know, the guys who are there, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, you're building up to a certain point, and that, you know, to the best you can, stay healthy, and you have that availability with all your best players.
You've got not just pitching, as we're talking about, you've got Jake Goldshore back behind the plate, and that name's probably familiar to a lot of listeners here from basketball season, because his father's the coach of the school's basketball team. You have Jules Cicero, who had a great year last year as a sophomore, and you know, you're basically strong all around. I don't know if you have a weakness anywhere.
Well, one thing we have a big emphasis on this year is our lineup. We know our pitching and defense is going to be there. But, you know, in the past, there's been that game where we're, you know, 2-for-32, whatever it's been. And we want to be have a little more of a dangerous lineup. You know, we have a kid at the top of the lineup, Jules Cicero, who's about as disruptive and as good a leadoff hitter as I've had since Jack Hennessy, when we won back-to-back FCX in 2008 and 2009. And he was just unbelievable. He, you know, he stepped in the box to start a game. There was fear in the other. It was like, if he gets on base, we have problems. And Jules is that kind of disruptive force and twitchy athlete. And, you know, when he steps in that box, we're ready to roll. So we're trying to build this lineup where we're going to, you know, score enough runs. You know, instead of winning games 3-1, 2-1, you know, you want to be a little more comfortable, 6-2, 6-3, where you can get some guys out a little bit earlier. And, like I said, you know, put a little more run production. We're looking at some of the numbers last year and some of the data, and we want to raise it up a little bit.
What do you, obviously you need good players, and good teams have good feeder programs. Now what's it like, and what have you done in Westport to build this program up to what it's become over the last 20 years?
Yeah, Dave, you know, we have a unique challenge in Westport with, you know, kids are specializing, and there's, you know, we have an unbelievable lacrosse program in the town, which is in the spring, which is, you know, competes, you know, we're competing for athletes constantly. So, you know, I always say the minute we, you know, our program drops a little, it'll drop a lot. You know, we have to keep it out. You have to hook these kids 5, 6, 7 years old. That's when you have to do it. Having the three Gatorade players, you know, Ben in 2017, Chad in 2019, and Hero in 2023. You know, we have the sign out there. You know, everybody wants who's going to be next. You know, that's a big thing for us. Obviously, going down to Little League, and, you know, we have this Challenger program for kids with disabilities who play baseball, which is great. You know, we make sure our kids get around town and, you know, they have the hats on and we're passing out hats and gear. And, you know, if kids are going – kids are going to Cabetta and kids are going to Palmer Field when they're 6, 7, 8 years old, then you're going to hook them. They're going to want to be wreckers when they're 13, 14, and 15. So all that stuff is huge.
We need to take a break here. Can you stick around and finish up the show with me?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to come back, take a break, and we'll come back with Jack McFarland. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Expert analysis on all things high school sports. You're listening to the Rudin Report, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back and going to finish up talking to Jack McFarland. Jack, is it more challenging now than when you started? You look at, I mean, this is like probably the biggest boom period across the board for sports at Staples and particularly male sports. You look at what's changed since you were there. Football was up and then hit a little bit of a lull, and the last few years has had the same sort of success when your old head coach, Mars Petrosio, was still there. And it's, you know, won a state championship 2 years ago and is competing now for championships. You know, basketball, the last few years has grown, and this year won the first FCAC title. Boys lacrosse, which you're up against the last few years, it's become a power and now seen on the same plane with the Darians and the New Canaans and Ridgefields. Does that make it more challenging for you?
Yeah, it's definitely more challenging, Dave. But like I always say, you know, baseball is the national pastime. It's not a regional sport. It's not, you know, it's so if you make it important, and we have a kid, you know, we had a kid last year who right out of Staples High School, you know, signed for $1.5 million and is in the Royals organization, a hero, you know, Hero Wyatt. We have, you know, we have Ben pitching for the Dodgers. So that kind of stuff is all good for us. It keeps our program going. It's important to hook these great athletes when they're younger. So, you know, I'm sure Brett and everybody else is doing the same thing. You're going down to those little league fields and you're finding out, you know, who's coming. Because the other thing is, you know, these private schools are coming in and kids want to reclass and do all this. It's like, you don't need to do that in baseball, because in baseball, we have kids getting drafted in the third round. We have kids playing Division I. We have kids playing college baseball all over the place. So I think this is really a golden age for baseball and the CIAC. There are, I mean, if you come to a baseball game, you're going to see kids who are college level players. You know, where some of the other sports, I think kids are running to the private schools, and it's maybe not as good as it was. But this is my 20th year. I don't think baseball's – I think it just keeps getting better. I don't know how good it's going to get, but we're right near the top as far as, you know, competitiveness, skill level. It's really unbelievable right now.
No, I agree. As a sports writer covering it, this is a golden age for baseball. I don't remember it for this long being this good, and – especially when, you know, lacrosse is probably the best played sport in the FCAC, and you're going up against that. But I don't remember baseball being played across the board in the league on the level it is right now. So it's pretty cool. You've done a lot also, and I know some of the people involved from my ties to Westport. But you've got a diamond club, and the things you do. I mean, it's kind of like, and you've been you were a longtime football assistant there and at Trumbull with Mars. It resembles football, you know, just in terms of what you're able to do, the support you get. You look at the, you know, what the field is like. You look at the plaques as you enter the field. It's a great place to watch a game now. Was it hard to build that club up, and did you maybe model it after what some football programs do?
There's no question about it. When I first got there in 2005, I always tell the story that when there was a baseball game going on, people just kept walking. And, you know, we had one dugout. We had a fundraise. We had to get a new field. We had to do a lot of stuff. But, you know, now that we're at that point, you know, we have great leadership with Vince Kelly, who's our Diamond Club president. And, you know, we really try to have fun with it. We have Little League Day. We have all these days. We have the Colony Pizza Truck there. Baseball's fun. So we try to make it as fun as we can. And, you know, when we're going to spend money, it's going to be on something that makes sense, whether it's a Hackettack. It's everything is for the kids to give us, you know, so we can run a real practice, so we can, you know, have those new uniforms every 3 years, whatever it is. So, yeah, there's no question the support we get, and our Diamond Club does an unbelievable job.
What day you bring in the Colony Pizza Truck this year so I make sure I cover that game?
I think it might be Little League Day. We'll put out the schedule there, but.
That's always one of the highlights. I always hope you're playing a good team and a game I would cover that day. There's nothing like sitting in my usual little perch there by the field and having a few slices of pizza. You know, I know you'll get Scott Erickson to come out for that game as well. So I don't know. Yeah, now that I mention it, Pete may come down. You might have like all the sports writers coming down. So make sure they bring extra dough that day.
People will come out of the woodwork for that one.
What about the league? I mean, I don't know if you heard Brett was on earlier, and he thinks this might be the best offensive team that he's ever had. Trumbull won the FCAC title last year. They've got a number of players back, including Trevor Schulke. And there are a lot of teams that are getting talked up. Norwalk, Greenwich. I know Darien had a tough loss yesterday. But they're getting talked up. It's a deep league, and there's a lot of good pitching.
No question. The league is going to be, it's going to be a bear. I mean, the most important thing you can do as a coach is just punch your ticket to those FCAC playoffs, whether you're one or eight, because in single elimination baseball, anybody can win that tournament. And then, in the state playoffs, you got to be deep. You got to have three or four guys. And there's a lot of teams. Norwalk's got a bunch of pitching. There's, like you said, Trumbull, Ward's going to be there. Ludlow will be in the mix. There's a lot of good teams out there. So it's going to be, every day is a dogfight. Everybody's got a team. So there's no day off or easy game or, St. Joe's going to be real good. They're always good. So it's going to be, one heck of a season. Once we get some weather, once we get started here, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that's going to happen for a couple of days. And you got a lot of wet fields that hopefully will dry quickly. That'd be a big disappointment. Everybody loves you and Ward opening the season together. It's kind of a great way to start. It's great that you guys do it. How to be a disappointment, to have to postpone the game, even though I think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, no question. It was, the problem with Saturdays is you don't have your crews there. You don't have people putting material on the field. So if you're always going to, one downpour, you could lose the game. Or, me and Brett have already been talking about it. We're going to get it done on a Friday, which would be fun this Friday. Or if we have to, we'll do it on a Sunday. But it's going to be, it's a non-league game. It's not, the biggest game in the world, but it's fun to start the season that way. We've agreed to do that last couple of years. We're going to keep doing it because, we want to see great baseball. We want to play at the highest level, and it's always a great match with Ward.
Well, Jack, it's always fun covering Staples baseball. Like I said, it's a great place to watch a game, and it's a great place to watch a really good team. And you're obviously going to be back in the mix this year, so wish you the best of luck. I'm if you play Ward on Friday, I'll see you there. I might even see you at Greenwich on Thursday. But wish you and the guys best of luck this year, and thanks a lot for taking the time here.
You got it, Dave. Thanks for all you do for the kids.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And that's Staples coach Jack McFarland. And as we finish up here, a lot of people have been asking me what the Rudin Report Live is going to be like in the spring. In the fall, it's football-centric. In the winter, it's boys basketball-centric and focusing a lot on that with some girls. In the spring, I don't know that I'm going to have a co-host, But I'm also, I know my strengths and weaknesses, and talking by myself for long periods of time is not a strength of mine. So I think what you're going to see is, A, it's going to be very guest-heavy, like this show today, and B, you have lacrosse, as I mentioned, is probably the best-played sport. Baseball is being played at the highest level, and softball is always strong, and we may mix in some other sports too. So I think we're going to be hopping around. Maybe occasionally I'll have a guest host for fun, but if you're a fan of all spring sports, that's really going to be the focus of the Rudin Report Live, and we've had a good listenership so far, so I hope that continues. Anyhow, as I said, we're into spring sports now. We got a lot of good games coming up, and we'll have a lot to discuss next Sunday on the Rudin Report Live. Have a good week, everybody.